This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you in your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Alabama Turfgrass Association. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Alabama Turfgrass, we feature an article titled Building High-Profile Turf Venues by Chad Lambert, Shoreline Turf. When I was asked to write this article, I had some doubts as to my qualifications. I've been a contractor for over 30 years with no PhD to give me the extra wealth of knowledge usually poured into such an article. However, I was asked to share my expertise, so here we go. I started working in the turf grass industry not by accident, but by birth. My father, Lewis Skip Lambert III, was a well-known agronomist, contractor, and founder of Shoreline Turf, Inc. in Northport, Alabama in 1991. Prior to this, Dad worked with Southern Turf Nurseries, and I can remember him talking about prescription athletic turf, PAT, and Inca turf systems at an early age. The PAT system had the ability to pump water into or out of the playing surface using pipes installed underneath the playing surface. The Orange Bowl in South Florida has this system installed due to the high rainfall they experience each year, especially during hurricanes. The University of Alabama's Bryant-Denny Stadium had its PAT system installed in 1991 and still has it in place. Inca Turf used synthetic mats to strengthen the playing surface and prevent cupping. Razorback Stadium was recently renovated using a similar system. These were high-end athletic field systems installed in the 70s, 80s, and 90s at some of the most high-profile turf venues across the United States. I got to walk some special places going to work with Dad as a young boy. The Citrus Bowl, Orange Bowl, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, Houston Astrodome, numerous Southeastern Conference venues, Augusta National Golf Club, and many more. Dad retired in 2006, and I've carried on in his footsteps. High-profile athletic fields. All the venues mentioned above are high-profile venues for sure. So what defines a high-profile athletic field? The definition of a high-profile facility is determined by the money available for construction and maintenance. Qualified athletic contractors use the same equipment and personnel to build everything from little league to professional fields. The true difference lies in site design, materials, and maintenance, all of which cost money. Sites are extremely important to athletic fields. They vary greatly and affect cost exponentially. Generally, the higher profile complexes can effectively change the landscape to fit their needs. Often high-profile facilities are in urban areas, where space becomes a huge factor. Design is also an all-important factor and can make or break the facility. Architects and designers are tasked with the challenge to create the perfect stage or playing surface. At times, this stage must be incorporated within a stadium that allows fans good access and a fun place to observe sporting events. Players and staff also require adequate facilities, and all this must mesh with field efficiency. This team often uses more than one design professional, with at least one that specializes in design of the playing surface specifically. The sports field designer is the person in charge of designing a stage that will accommodate whatever sport is to be played under varying conditions provided by Mother Nature. The exception is closed stadiums, which present new challenges. Types of playing surfaces. Possible materials used to build high-profile athletic facility playing surfaces are determined by the specific design or type of field. With that said, there are three basic types of playing surfaces, no matter the sport being played: natural grass, synthetic turf, hybrid systems, combines both natural and synthetic turf. All of them have a place in modern athletic facilities. Natural grass. Natural grass fields are still considered the standard by which every other type of playing surface is compared. High-profile natural grass playing surfaces are durable, and provide excellent playability when properly constructed and maintained. These have some real selling points. First, natural grass is the only true green system used today. It protects the environment. Artificial turf can't take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. Second, natural grass is generally known to have fewer injuries and is unquestionably the coolest option on a sunny day. Synthetic turf is 40 to 70 degrees hotter than surrounding air temperatures on warm, sunny days. Third, natural grass maintained properly sustains itself and recovers from damage. The key to this is often in selecting the very best variety of grass for the region and sport being played. Today, there are many options when selecting the best grass for your venue. The region of the country will often determine the species of grass that can be most effective. Next, the cultivar that best suits the site, timing, and use of turf can further accentuate the quality of the playing surface. More recently, the number of grasses commercially available can be confusing. But generally, sports turf managers will give their peers a true picture of what works best in their region. Additionally, contact local universities such as Auburn and speak with their turf grass researchers for any information they can offer. To further improve the playability and use of natural turf grass, soil profiles can be modified to improve infiltration, air, and gas exchange and compaction. A majority of high-profile facilities use sand-based mediums with extensive drainage systems that can be used in all weather conditions. In truth, they are built much like a USGA putting green, modified to fit the need of sports turf. However, as good as natural grass may be, it does require regular and intensive maintenance with adequate sunlight and water. And let's not forget that natural grass can wear quickly when overused. Turf managers, if possible, should rotate use at high-profile turf venues for the optimum health, benefits, and appearance of all natural turf grass. Synthetic turf. The first large-scale synthetic turf, artificial turf, project was installed on a recreation field in Providence, Rhode Island in 1964. This first-generation synthetic turf was called Chemgrass, a name I'm sure wouldn't be used today. Chemgrass was made from nylon and was very stiff and hard. This product was installed in the Astrodome in 1966, and that's where the name AstroTurf originated. A second generation of synthetic turf, polypropylene, was introduced during the 1970s, and this material was softer and less abrasive than its first-generation predecessor. However, the second generation still did not exhibit the playing characteristics and actual ball behavior capabilities of natural grass. Today we see the third generation of synthetic turf, polyethylene. It was made available during the mid-1990s and provides even softer play due to the required infill of recycled rubber granules. Synthetic turf does offer some strong points of its own, the biggest being its ability to resist wear and provide a consistent playing surface during all times and seasons. There are various turf colors to choose from for the playing surface, and field markings and logos can be added as permanent features. However, multi-use venues will sometimes add these field markings and logos for each event using temporary turf paint. For indoor use, an important benefit is synthetic turf doesn't require sunlight. Typically, they are built with an aggregate subgrade with extensive drainage systems. The carpet or turf is then installed over the aggregate and attached at seams and edges. The turf is then filled with infill to support the piles or blades to give it the appearance of grass. Generally, with normal maintenance, they are striped and ready to go when the team is ready. The disadvantages of synthetic turf include some evidence of increased injury, extremely hot on sunny days, being superheated to 120 degrees Fahrenheit to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Irrigation can be used to lower the temperature. Non-sustainable. Requires regular maintenance such as cleaning, sanitizing, grooming, and leveling of infill materials, debris removal, temporary stripping applied for different sports, and physical damage repair, to name a few. It's expensive to replace. Synthetic turf is not maintenance-free. Hybrid fields. Hybrid fields are an up-and-coming type of facility. The field includes both natural grass and synthetic turf. The primary advantage of this type of field is the use of synthetic turf in high wear areas where grass can become worn, thin, or non-existent. These fields often have the best of both turf types. The one unique disadvantage is the need for dual maintenance. Artificial turf must be groomed, while grass must be mowed. Also, some type of turf planer must be used on the natural turf to maintain it at the same height as the synthetic turf. The key factor, building and maintaining high-profile turf venues involves more than selecting the physical materials or site appearance after construction. It has a human element that must be addressed. Therefore, the key factor in maintaining a high-profile turf venue requires building a first-class maintenance staff. This is critical after the expense of building any facility from park league to professional sports. Honestly, staffing with top-notch personnel is the true key to creating and sustaining a high-profile turf venue. They must stay on top of their game, pun intended, by keeping themselves informed with the latest information regarding all things turf-related. Attending seminars such as those provided by the Alabama Turfgrass Association is critical to keeping staff educated and motivated at the level exemplified by the work they need to perform. Even the perfect high-profile turf venue will fail without regular, exacting care and attention to detail. That involves the human element. Lastly, turf managers are challenged with the conflict between show business and protection of the site, turfgrass specifically, coupled often with the unrealistic expectation of coaches, players, and fans. They must walk the ever-moving line between administration, management, staff, budget, and required daily maintenance. As most of us know, it's not that easy to do. So the next time you view a beautiful, high-profile turf venue, tip your hat at those making it happen. For all photos associated with this article, check out our show notes. And don't miss an episode of Alabama Turfgrass. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.